Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you were to choose words to describe your life right now, what words might you use? I think there are many people, and maybe you're like them, that might use the words overextended, or frenzied, or frazzled, or frustrated. You see, we all have responsibilities. Maybe it's the worries of work, or the demands of life, the frenzy of the family life. Maybe even in retirement we feel rushed at times. And then, of course, there is something that weighs upon each one of us. With all the worries of life, there's also the expectations we set for ourselves, the expectations others have for us, and, of course, the expectations that God has for us. And we recognize how far short we have fallen of all of those expectations, especially the expectations of our God. And that guilt wells up in our hearts and weighs upon our lives. So with that in mind, what a blessing it is to know that our Savior comes to us. Our Savior wants to visit us and to give us that true peace and that true rest that only He Himself can give to us. Jesus comes to visit you as He speaks His holy word to you and as He delivers to you that wonderful, most precious treasure of all. Luke, when he writes in the gospel, never lets us forget that Jesus is journeying. He is on his way towards something, Luke tells us. He is single-mindedly heading towards one place, and that place would be the cross. Jesus is on that journey in the last 6 months of his life. He is on his way to that cross, thinking of you, thinking of your needs, thinking of your sins, and ready to die for every single last one of our sins. And on his journey, he stops and visits some very dear friends, Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus, too. You can almost wonder why Jesus would stop and visit with them. Not only that he loved them, but he was also preparing them for some very difficult days that were upcoming. For it wouldn't be very long from now when that dear brother of theirs, Lazarus, would die. And then after that, not long after that, Jesus, their Savior, would also die. Jesus, in his visits, was preparing Mary and Martha for those very difficult days. And that's what Jesus does for us as he comes to visit us. He wants to prepare us for what may lie ahead in our lives, too. We know not what the future may bring, but we know what the future is when Jesus is a part of it, when Jesus comes and visits us through his word. And so in this humble house, we find Jesus entering it, that house of Martha and Mary. Mary is someone who we hear just does a couple of things. She sits and she listens. She sits at the feet of Jesus and takes time out to listen to his holy word. It seems so simple, so unimportant that someone would just sit and listen to Jesus. And yet, we as Christians understand and long for those opportunities we have to sit and listen to that streaming gospel that comes from our Savior's lips as we hear him speak to us through his word, to refresh and strengthen to us. It is truly a life stream. To be cut off from that stream, we're cut off from life itself. Jesus speaks his holy, precious word to Mary, and Mary, by faith, listens to every word that comes from the lips of the Savior. Of course, we hear Martha too, don't we? We see her, and she is the doer, right? She gets up and she's prepared. She wants to get more prepared for this special honored guest. She's motivated by love for her Savior. She loves him dearly. And yet there are other motivations in her heart, motivations that she expresses with her words. Motivations where she says, "Dear Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care how much I'm struggling with all the things and the preparations that I'm making for you? Don't you care that my sister is not helping me?" Is it in the frazzle and the frenzy of our lives that sometimes we begin to be tempted to wonder, "Jesus, don't you care? Do you understand my struggles, my trials, my troubles?" And Jesus comes to you through his word and says, "I care. I care more deeply than anyone could care for you. I come to bring you a peace in the midst of your struggles and your frazzled, frenzy lives. Within me, there is a peace that goes beyond human understanding, a peace of the forgiveness of your sins and a true rest that will never wane. Even in the midst of your busy lives, here am I. I care." Now, there was another message that Martha had for Jesus. "Jesus, don't share the message that you have for my sister Mary as she sits at your feet. Listen to the message I have for you, Jesus. Tell her to help me. Tell her to get up." Are we also tempted at times to give Jesus a message from our hearts that he ought to really be listening to? We think our message is more important for Jesus. Instead of praying as we did in the first hymn, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening," sometimes we're tempted to say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." We need what Jesus has to give us. And so, those quiet times when we hear Jesus speak to us are so invaluable for us in our lives. As we gather here in worship, this is not just a normal, every Sunday kind of routine. At least I hope we don't think so. When we gather in church, it is not first and foremost that we're serving God. We're doing our part for God and the church to keep this church running and active. No, it's more about Jesus coming to serve me and giving me what I desperately need. By nature, I recognize I am but a beggar before my God. And yet, as a beggar, a sinful, wretched person, my God comes to serve me. Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. These quiet moments, these fleeting moments as we gather each Sunday in God's house, oh, how precious they are. As we, like Mary, get to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him speak to us through his word. And as we gather at his altar to receive nothing less than his precious body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the strengthening of our faith. We have all of these different priorities in our lives. We have all these things that are distracting at times, pulling and vying for our attention, but nothing is more vital than what Jesus gives us as we sit at his feet and listen to his word. I was just visiting one of our members in the hospital this past week. And this person, this member, as they were sitting in their chair, another lady came in to also visit with her. And these two, even though they had not met one another, they quickly realized they had many things in common. In fact, relatives that they each knew. And then the conversation went to, of course, the Door County Baseball League too. Many of their relatives had actually played on the Door County Baseball League. And they talked about the wonderful memories of on a Sunday afternoon, spending time at the baseball game, watching their relatives and others play. And then that visiting lady said to my member, she said, and each Sunday, they were in church too. First things are first, right? Baseball is very important in Door County, but nothing is greater than Jesus and his holy word. I think we could say the same thing about farmers, faithful farmers. I grew up in farm families on both sides of my family. And the sweat and the dirt that went into trying to work those fields, sometimes working through the night hours. But when it came time for church, they got off the tractor, washed up, got into the car with their wife and children, because it was time for church. And then, quite likely, they went right back out to the field after church to make hay while the sun shines. First things first. That's how we live our lives. And we don't do it just simply because God commands it, but because we know of the great love of our Lord for us and the great need we have to be fed and fed again and again by his word and sacrament to refresh this faith. In the frenzy of life, we need Jesus. As the third commandment tells us, we should not despise God's word, but regard it as holy and gladly, gladly hear and learn it. Because sitting at Jesus' feet means everything to us. When we sit at Jesus' feet, Jesus means to give us the most precious treasure of all. Just think about when Martha came with her request of Jesus. Don't you care about my sister not helping me? Tell her to help me. Maybe you would have almost anticipated that Jesus would have told Mary, yeah, get up, help your sister. Maybe you've been in that situation when you've been a guest in somebody's house and you've been visiting, and maybe that person who is actually a resident in that house has to get up and start working in the kitchen or cleaning or whatever the case may be. Get up, Mary. Go ahead. We can visit later. But our Savior always does the unexpected, doesn't he? In fact, he talks to Martha and diagnoses the trouble and problem in her heart. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things. Can you think of things that are pulling at your heart right now? You're probably already anticipating what this afternoon might bring or what tomorrow might bring. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, Jesus says. I think most people would agree with Jesus. Only few things, just a few things, are truly needed. We sometimes confuse our needs and our wants. Jesus, you're right. Just a few things are needed. But Jesus really takes it a step further, doesn't he? He says few things are needed, or indeed, rather just one thing is needed. Would you agree with that, dear Christian? Or is your mind thinking this through and thinking, no, Jesus, we need more than just one thing. Why? We need air, we need food, we need water, we need companionship and shelter. Jesus, don't forget about those things. I agree with your statement that a few things are needed, but you go way beyond what the human mind can conceive when you just say one thing is needed. But what Jesus, your Savior, is telling you is very, very true. Without water, you could live a few hours, a few days. Without air, you could live a few moments. Without Jesus, you die eternally. Dear friends, keep it all in perspective. without Jesus, we lose everything, but with Jesus, we have our dearest treasure. Think about your lives in the way that our solar system is set up for just a moment, huh? The sun is in the middle, and all those planets are pulled in an orbit around that sun. If it wasn't for the orbit, those planets would be flying off into other galaxies, other parts of the far-flung universe. That orbit is always around the sun. What about your orbit in life? What is the sun that pulls you in or pulls you in many different directions? Is it family? Is it your health or your job or the treasures in your bank account? Realize that one day all these things will be gone. But the one thing that will truly remain through it all, even through death itself, is that relationship with your Savior. Even in the moment of death, the relationship with Him goes on and on. May God give us such a single-minded focus on our Savior Jesus Christ. For His life was not one of distraction. His life was focus upon you, focus upon His love for Mary and Martha, focus for a world of sinners as He suffers and dies upon the cross and bleeds for them to forgive them of all their sins and to assure them of eternal life. That single-minded focus of our Savior, Jesus grants you by faith through His precious gospel. Dear friends, two meals were served that day in Mary and Martha's house. The meal Martha was preparing, and the spiritual meal that Jesus set before Mary. May God grant us the understanding of just how vitally important and what a great treasure the meal with which Jesus feeds us through His word and sacrament. Jesus comes to visit you. He visits you through His word, and in that word, He gives you your dearest treasure, a lasting, everlasting treasure. Amen.